The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of the management and staff of Guardian Radio.
Morning and welcome to Guardian Radio AM. Today is Monday, February 10th, and it's a little after 11 o'clock in the morning. Once again, this is C.A. Nuri, and I shall be your host for today. Today I wanted to play a clip, but I didn't send it to Kermit in time, and he's doing work, so I'm trying to see if he could wave to me and say that he has the clip ready, but I'm going to give him some time. My conversation today, which I'm going to have Aaron Green, who's joining me, assist me with, is the impact of policing into the Bahamas. Earlier, she was talking about the sexual assault case of these. A dad gets 5 years for sexual assault on his twins. I want to include that into the conversation, but my conversation is the impact of policing in the Bahamas, how it impacts us. Are we doing a good job? Recently, I saw a video circulating. I just sent it to Erin to see if she saw it, right? It's a video, definitely to the Bahamas, because she's 919 on the police car. I'm trying to ascertain if it's on a family island, but definitely it seems to be like a busy thoroughfare. So it's either Grand Bahama or New Providence. It's a voice note video clip of a crowd surrounding two police officers. You see the police cars there, they're flashing. The crowd seems to be incensed, excited, emotional. And the police was trying to get control of what was happening, right? The crowd circled the two police officers. The police car was there, the lights was flashing, the crowd was loud. The person who was recording the video was definitely female. She was giving commentary. It's a short clip, less than 30 seconds. She's giving commentary of what was happening. The crowd, like I said, was incensed and seemed to move toward the police. And one police took out his firearm. He took out his firearm and he shot. Pow, pow. The second police took out his firearm. And he continued to shoot in the air, of course. Pow, 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 pow. I'm not sure if Aaron is the same, but I'm afraid of gun. A loud noise terrifies me, right? Especially when it's sudden. I can see the angst of the police officers in the video. They were in the defensive mode, that desperation mode, right? When they're looking for answers to what to do, right? They concluded that whatever was happening, they needed to take out their firearms and shoot in the air. Just then, instead of the crowd scatter, which I would have done to try get out of the way, this crowd, from this video what I saw, seemed to pounce on. The video clip stopped right after that, right? But at that time, it seems as if the police officers were attacked after the bullet shot. No. And if a listening audience could call in and give commentary, because maybe they got a secondary video. But it seemed as if the two police officers was overwhelmed because the crowd did not back away from the shots. They then pounced on the police. Mm-hmm. So this is why I wanted to talk about the impact of policing and what happened. What should be happening, especially when we have new recruits coming out every day. Right, we have in the police, a people who seem not to be afraid of gun. They're so desensitized by gunshots that they now come outside when they hear gunshots and say, "Who gets shoot?" They're running away. They don't close the windows down and sit on the ground and say, "Okay, just in case the bullet fly." They're going toward the gunshots. We have a people now who openly challenges the police. When I see the uniform, when police start talking, I start saying yes sir, no, no sir, to give them the respect so they could do their jobs.
No, for me, it is to give them the respect so that they remember the stature that they're supposed to hold.
Yes.
Right? When I was in primary school and in high school, Mr. Roberts would refer to the students as lady and gentleman,
yes,
lady and sir,
respect,
to remind us, mm-hmm, of who we are, right? And so I do the same thing. I am showing you the respect that you're supposed to have for yourself, officer.
Mm-hmm.
The second thing I wanted to say just about the clip, right? Mm-hmm. Because
I'm just trying to make sure Kermit has the clip ready so he can play in the meantime. But go ahead.
You know, we observe, what I observed in the video was at least one officer firing shots into the air.
Yes.
Right? That's very dangerous.
I'm going to talk about that too.
Right. We tell people don't fire shots into the air because what goes up
must
come down.
Yes.
So the question of why did they resort to firing the gun in the air versus retreating?
That's
waiting for backup.
I want to talk about that. And this is the conversation.
Okay.
Definitely, Aaron. Go ahead.
We can get into it. I don't want people to think we just cast in aspersions on police.
No. See, I want to know what happened.
Mm-hmm.
What steps, what are the steps?
What should happen? Right.
See, Aaron, you mentioned that why didn't they retreat, right?
Right.
But let me set this up.
Yeah.
If the crowd becomes unruly and I'm realizing that I cannot control the circumstances, I assume that you call for backup.
And retreat for safe distance. However, what if when you came onto the scene, you observed a group attacking another group? While you attempted to subdue and control the crowd, you realize that somebody is in imminent threat, right? There's an imminent threat of grievous harm.
Mm-hmm.
The harm is not, the fear of harm is not to yourself, the officer, which would cause you to retreat and call for backup. But what if you are faced with a situation where the crowd is becoming uncontrollable? You are unable to subdue or control the crowd, but there is somebody whose life is at risk. Are you authorized to just retreat and leave them fighting with weapons, or do you have a duty of care to prevent the harm? You see what I'm saying? Because initially I would have said, oh, them police firing the guns in the air, that's dangerous. They doing that because they're in fear of their life. They should have retreated to a safe place and waited for backup. But what if they saw a weapon and they reasonably believed that imminent harm, right? There's imminent harm. It's about to happen. Maybe they have a duty of care to stop that, right? And they resorted to firing shots.
So I'll ask you this.
Yeah, I think it's reasonable that they have to consider that.
Yes, and I'll ask you this. When the police draw his weapons out,
mm-hmm,
what is his intent?
No, to you,
overall,
okay,
what is the intent?
A show of force.
Show of force. So would you say a police officer, when he draw his weapon, he should be prepared to use it? I see Kermit already answering.
See,
you have my clip ready, Kermit.
What I think I know, what I've been told by police is that when an officer draws his weapon, he's only to draw the weapon if he's prepared to use it.
That's right. Oh.
Right. However,
mm-hmm,
the weapon in and of itself is a show of force. So the officer pulling the weapon from his holster,
that's one,
may be a show of force with no intent on using it.
Uh-huh.
But however, I could understand the rationale of the police. You don't know what weapons may be in the crowd.
I understand.
So as an officer, when you pull your gun, somebody may pull their gun. So you must be prepared to use it, right? So they may say, don't pull it unless you're prepared.
Don't pull it unless you're prepared.
To use it.
To use it. This officer decided to shoot it in the air. This is where I get my clip.
Yeah.
And the lady commentary, oh, they only prepared to shoot warning shots. She concluded.
Well, she said, oh, but see, what I heard was a sigh of relief, like, oh, they're just warning shots.
And did you know the crowd, let me use my words carefully, accosted the police officers afterwards?
What I observed, if I remember correctly, was the exterior of the crowd moved away, but the people who were fighting.
Yes.
It appears as if the warning shots did not deter them compel them to stop fighting.
And they pounced on the police. That's the part you're not commenting on. Because, like I said, I'm not saying because, a cause or effect.
Right.
But my point is, if you pull your gun, and if you're not prepared to use it, and those who surrounded you realize that you're not, my clip ready, they're not prepared to use it, right? Then perhaps we need better training for the police officers, right? Play that clip there. I want the listening audience to hear the commentary and to visualize it. I know you can't see the video itself, but it's the commentary I want you to hear. And of course, that was pandemonium ensued afterwards, right? That was two different police shooting, by the way. One, the initial person to have people back off. Then the second police officers shot again to have people back off. And the people who I assume the police were trying to get dispersed did not disperse. And they seem, from this video, it seems as if they pounced on the police officers. And those people who watched the video, I might have interpreted differently. It might have interpreted differently, but my critique is the training of the police officers, right? Because clearly different steps should have been taken. First, you come there with your pepper spray. I know Aaron and I disagree about the taser. I believe that the police needs to exhaust that. I believe that police should have billies. What do you call it? Billies?
Billy clubs? I prefer the gun that shoots the beanbag.
No, guns that shoots the beanbag. My point, it seems, and any police officer, any person who's reserved can call in, correct it. It seems as if police do not have a progression on how to respond to serious things, riots and so on. It's either A, we hit the present and we go straight to the gun. We go straight to the gun, and if the police are not prepared to use a gun, just like what happened inside this video, the police will become overwhelmed quickly.
Mm-hmm.
Or one or two innocent people, because there's a crowd. You aim, you may not show how good the police are. Well, even if they're really good, one or two innocent bystanders may get caught in the crossfire.
Mm-hmm.
We need extra training. We need police to have extra options. Options so they can exercise and use.
Less than lethal options.
And this is my plea, and that's why I continue to bring it up. My plea to the current commissioner of police. They need extra, police clearly need extra training, more training, and they need other options other than I'm going to take out my gun mm-hmm. and shoot.
And I know that in the new commissioner of police, Ms. Shanta Knowles, COP, in her 90-day plan, when she unveiled her 90-day plan, one of the key elements of that plan was body cams, to get all officers in body cams.
I'm not sure how the body cam would have helped in this event. I mean, we get to see things up close.
Well,
but we need someone to disperse that crowd.
Remember when the Minister of National Security said that a number of officers had come to him sort of privately to indicate that they were concerned about frontline service after the reprisal of the coroner's court mm-hmm. investigations, right? What is that fair about? Well, if you have on a body cam and you're doing the right thing, then you should have no fear because the body cam documents what you were doing. So once you're doing the right thing, once you're following procedure, once you're following the law as an officer, then you are protected.
We have a caller here, Kermit, producer. Patch that caller through so we can have a conversation with them. Welcome to Guardian Radio AM. I think there needs to be more training for the police force officers and also more options levied to them so they can do better policing, especially dealing with a public, an unruly public who is clearly open to challenge the police. Go ahead, caller.
Morning. How are you?
I'm doing well.
listen, I'm listening to you and Aaron speak. And every time, it's always the police at fault. What about educating the public and letting them know, in no uncertain terms, when the police come on the scene, you stand back until the police get an understanding of what occurred. They cause the confusion because the police do not understand what's going on.
Let me ask you a question.
I always, when I was in school, I used to tell the children, listen, the police don't wake up in the morning to come fool with you, you know.
But let me ask you a question. You ready? Now, same scenario, right? There's some unruly people when the police came to arrest. The police, again, took out their guns. And they shot in the air. I'm not going to say they shot at anyone. They shot in the air. And across the street, some innocent bystanders were just sitting there watching from afar. And of course, like Aaron said, what goes up must comes down. And the person who was watching from a distance got hurt. Let's say it got hurt seriously. Who's at fault?
The person who fires the gun, right?
The police officer?
But listen.
And this is what the discussion is about. No, let me just give you the point. This is what the discussion would be trying to have to correct policing. What do you recommend that the police should do moving forward?
See, first of all, there's a whole lot of things that come into play. First of all, the police are human beings. And they have a certain fair level in them. That's like the people who are standing there carrying on. Police have fear in them when they see a crowd of people, and they know they don't have no right. Because the minute you shoot one of them, all your rights are gone, and the police will back off from you. But yet, they want you to go there amongst these crazy people and tell them to stay quiet and stand back, which they don't do. That is why I have a problem with us always blaming the police, and we are not educating the public.
So, Carla, you're not interested in answering the question then? Because we get the point that you're making, but let's talk about that, right? Who is responsible for educating the public, right?
And
the police are responsible for educating the public, right? Okay, good. The police are responsible for showing the public what is expected of them when they're interacting with the police, right?
Right.
I could tell you five stories right now. Personal observation and interaction with police, we'd throw the whole police force away.
Okay,
so let's not go there. Let's stick on the question. Because once a police officer volunteers to be a police officer, once he takes the oath and he's assigned a gun, and even before he's assigned a gun, he's no longer an ordinary citizen.
Oh, no, don't mind that, Aaron.
They are no longer ordinary citizens.
Aaron.
And this is a slippery slope that you started on, and at the bottom of that slope is, I had to shoot him, I was in fear of my life, even though he didn't have a weapon on him.
Aaron, you remember the story about MacArthur, when he went into the hospital and slapped one of the injured soldiers because the boy told him he was afraid? Have you ever seen that documentary? The boy wasn't, he was afraid, when you're around crazy people and people are dying and getting shot, you can.
In the words of the great Corinne Mitchell, when you tired of doing the people job, or you find yourself unable or unwilling to do the job according to the rules, you are free to quit. The Bahamas is a free to quit state. The people are tired of hearing police officers who volunteer to be police officers say things like, well, since they opened up the coroner's court, we don't want to serve in frontline policing. Or saying things like, I had to shoot him, I was in fear of my life, even though he only had a JBR brick in his hand.
Yeah. Okay, Aaron, where is the educating of the public?
We
are not supposed to touch the police tunic. Just touching their tunic is breaking the law.
Absolutely.
How many of these people know that?
Who's supposed to tell them? Where are they supposed to find it? On the Royal... Hold on, sir. Since you call here to row today, obviously, you tell me where on the Royal Bahamas Police Force website is the public supposed to find the rules for interacting with the police? See, because the only rule that exists is we as police and do what we say. That's it.
That is why I said the police should educate the public.
So why are you rowing the public then? Because you are here rowing the public about something the police are responsible for doing.
Sorry for raising my voice.
No, it ain't raising the voice pod caller.
Then it goes only one side. It's not a one-sided situation. It's a two-sided situation. Because this generation today, remember one time the police could only carry a billy? Only had to carry a billy. Now they got to go with submachine gun. Everything has elevated.
But look who you look who you talking to. You talking to two hosts that constantly talk about the rise in lawlessness of the people. So that's right. Why my question I come to ask you, well, who you rowing? Because and that's why I tell you pause, because now we're gonna have the conversation. The Royal Bahamas Police Force website is a bunch of foolishness. Okay, they should let say hold on. They should
let much call. Let me, because we
won't go on.
Okay, let me. I'll just speak. Go ahead.
No.
Go ahead. Go ahead.
Yeah. See, I'm back to my point. We are first dealing with human beings. Just like the crowd, they're human beings. The police, you got young people, they don't know nothing about combat. They get a little basic training 6 weeks there. And they don't know nothing about fear. You might think that is adequate, but it's not. Until you are in something like that, Aaron, you cannot identify but what fair is.
So caller, you took that 1 minute to repeat exactly what you said before without acknowledging it's exactly what C.A. Nuri said? And that's why you called to row us? You wanted to embarrass the police today.
Go ahead, caller.
Hey, Rich, as usual, Ms. Green and your guest.
Morning,
hey,
sir.
Question.
Nuri and I'm his guest.
Okay, I apologize
for that.
How do you feel about the police as a primary weapon use the rubber bullets, and a secondary weapon the real gun?
I like that.
It'll actually the rubber bullets will actually put you down. I feel as though you get shot, you most definitely going down, but at least you can live. And then the real gun as a secondary weapon, whereas that it'll avoid all this foolishness that's going on now.
This is the conversation about today. And that's what the conversation is about. We need to have different levels of force available to police officers.
At this present time, there's only one available
force, which is the gun.
Right.
There's two.
Or the combatant.
Right. The body or the gun. That's it. If your body is ineffective as a weapon or a tool, all they have to rely on is the gun.
Right. So use the rubber. So try the gun that shoots the rubber bullets as a primary weapon, and then the secondary weapon, the real gun.
That's a great idea. See, because
I mean, it's just trying to solve the problem.
See,
thank you very much, Carl.
Because when you acknowledge then, right, that they got two weapons, Nuri, they got their body, and then they have the gun. Nobody has a problem with the protocol that police officers carry guns. Nobody has a problem with that.
Mm-hmm.
The problem is with the determination,
the degree,
or the rationale mm-hmm. behind the choice, the decision to use the gun. And because here's what happened: if there's no gun present, right, or no knife present, right, or no imminent threat to another person present, then you're supposed to, as a police officer who is trained, be able to rely on your body to subdue this suspect or individual.
Let me read this, and I want you to respond to this. It's a text, right? And we come back on the next break. At one stop, the text says, the police put his hand on his gun because he wanted my husband to move the car to the side. We had already stopped, but the big, bad police officer was getting aggressive because we ain't move the car quick enough. They are not our friend. When the police put his hand on his gun, when he's giving you orders, what is what the police is saying? What a message the police
is
saying?
Maybe when we come back from this break, I'm going to tell you about the weekend that I locked my hair from a Friday to Sunday. I left my house as soon as I finished locking my hair, and by the time we hit Wolf Road just across the Village Road intersection, the police whoop us, me with my new locks. The first officer was cautious, right? And then he heard my voice and identified me without looking at ID.
Mm-hmm.
But in my rear view, my side mirror, I could see the second officer approaching the car with his hand on his gun shaking.
Mm-hmm.
And asking the officer, everything okay? Everything okay? the officer, having identified Aaron Green, just a little sissy man, don't watch nothing, say, hey man, everything cool. Like, he had to calm the other officer down, everything cool, right? So I'm not going to call it necessarily like the most horrible experience, because one officer had the presence of mind to observe and acknowledge the state that the other officer was in and calm him down and let him know that this situation does not require that level of force.
Let's take a break. Guided Radio AM, we'll be right back.
Just sign in and have a seat, please. They'll call you in for your x-ray shortly.
That's why they call it a waiting room. You won't have that problem at Fourth Terrace Diagnostic Center or Imaging at Groner. We never schedule multiple appointments, so you'll be in and out in no time. And if your initial screening reveals a concern, our radiologist can conduct an alternative screening right then and there. Call 328-8157 to schedule an appointment at Fourth Terrace Diagnostic Center or Imaging at Groner today.
You try to rest, but roll with the best. For all your printing needs, there ain't no one better, no. For posters and banners, magazines and flyers. For window decals, greeting cards and newsletters. No job too big and there's no job too small. You name it, we can print it, just give us a call. Let Printmasters bring your masterpiece to life.
Located at the Nassau Guardian Building, telephone 302-2361.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Alpha Sounds Promotion presents Back to Love, an unforgettable evening of smooth R&B vibes and cherished memories. Join us at the Nassau Cruise Port on Saturday, February 15th for a spectacular all-white affair featuring live performances by soul sensations, Freddie Jackson.
Hey everybody, it's Freddie Jackson. I'm coming to Nassau, Bahamas, and we are looking forward to the night of love.
Also performing, Regina Bell. Also featuring Bahamas' very own Essence Band, Back to Love. Saturday, February 15th. It's a spectacular all-white affair at the Nassau Cruise Port. Get tickets online. BahamasEtickets.com. Plantation Bar and Grill. Big Boys Cafe. And Tropics Bar and Grill. For more info, contact 822-6863.
And I hope to see you there. Make it like it
was. This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news and intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversations. 96.9 FM.
Hey, what's happening?
Brother, what's up?
This is a new recording, man.
Yeah, brother, like, dig it.
Stop. Right on.
There's too many of you crying. Brother, 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 there's far too many of you dying.
And welcome back to Guardian Radio AM. Before we start, I just want to give a birthday shout out. 99 years. Happy birthday to Miss Queen Kamita Road of Roseville Exumer. She celebrated 99 years of being on this earth. She's 99 years young. And that's coming from Ms. Jacqueline Popel Duncombe family. And they want to extend best regards, health, and appreciation to you and yours. Happy birthday again, Miss Kamita. Also, I want to read that Kalik is continuing their festival, right? Kalik, the Bear of the Bahamas, invites you to Victory Fest 2025. Join us on Saturday, March 1st at Smugglers Square for an epic celebration of the 2024 Boxing Day and 2025 New Year's Day Junkanoo winners, the Saxon Superstars. The Junkanoo season may be over, but the celebration is just getting started. Enjoy music by Playhouse DJs, Little Giant, and DJ Tank, and performing live, Fanshawe and D-Mac. Let's celebrate the four straight Junkanoo winners, Saxon Superstars. And Aaron, you was trying to make a point before.
Let me just read this quick text and then we get to that point. Good morning. Two Bahamians got first and second in Georgia State Powerlifting Championship. Please congratulate first place D'Angelo Griffin and second place David Capron.
Okay.
Way to go.
Okay, let me grab in this caller.
And then I'll go to the point. Okay.
Yeah. Go ahead, caller. Hello,
good morning. In.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning, Ms. Green. Good morning, Mr. Nuri. You know, I couldn't disagree with the last caller. And I mean, I don't know what the question was because I was in and out of the shop, right? But I would stand with the police in this instance because as a citizen, I don't know what kind of people they are, right? Maybe half-breeds, but it's something that's changing in the country where you don't respect the police. Now, I may call and lambast the police, right? But I'm vexed about dubious shootings like Cowpen Road and down other states, right? And the lack of cold case files and the lack of cams, lack of accountability and documentation of said shootings, right?
Mm-hmm.
Those are the things I'm concerned about. No justice, no peace. But, you know, police officers are people. And, I mean, this is, Aaron, this is one of the reasons why I didn't join the police force. I had a personal conversation with Dinkus, that's Paul Thompson's son, who's now deceased, God bless him, and a friend of mine, Gary Adler, who was our officer at the time, and also my old man. They were trying to get me to join the police force with enticing me about how much BJC and GCA had, and I could be the sergeant or be this or be that, right? But I posed the question to them. I psychoanalyzed myself, and I knew the type of mind that I said, if I am an officer, and I approach a carload of guys by myself, and I have a weapon, I said what I would have to do. So those officers, you see, I just can't see it no other way. People are disrespecting. I don't believe in disrespecting the police unless they disrespect me. So what I'm saying is, you see the police. They came there, like you said, and like Aaron, you're very knowledgeable. You paint a scenario in which somebody could have a gun. The police come there. There's a hurly-burly or whatever you could call it,
mm-hmm.
right? They don't know the situation. Nobody's orientating them. Everybody's shouting foolishness and shouting in the air. They are people. They are paranoid. Now I heard too many shots fired in the air, as to say a warning. So that was unprofessional for me. But, I would have shoot someone. If I'm in the fair, I have to shoot someone. But I do agree with other alternative methods of controlling, let's say, a taser or something, or even a German Shepherd or a dog or something like that. There needs to be some backup when you have a place. See, Aaron, the people who run in the police force, I don't know how knowledgeable they are, how sensible they are, how much common sense they have. But Freeport is a place with vast distances between settlements. So that means if you send an officer with just two officers in a car, without backup, without dogs, without something, it is counterintuitive. You understand what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
It's no different from Georgia or a state trooper on the road by himself, where you've seen many times on the FBI files and other files where they are shot and killed and ganged by people. So, I mean, I listen to the lack of innovations by the police. But we talk about, people just call and talk about the roadblock here and the roadblock there. Just have a roadblock everywhere. That's all. I mean, I don't know. I'm not practically mean everywhere, but you know what I mean. So what I'm saying is, and me personally, I don't have a problem with the police doing no roadblock, you know, because
the law has a problem with it. C-52, here's what's happening. Hold on, 52. Y'all are conflating and confusing issues and statements, right? Sentiments and discussions. Nobody here is denigrating the police.
No, I didn't
right?
say that. But,
no.
You know you don't want to stumble.
No, what you said, 52, what you said is you agreed with the boy. What the boy was doing was disagreeing with us without actually listening to...
Hold on. He was saying it, right?
I know, but without actually listening to what it was we were saying. The point that was being made was, right, that this whole thing of in fair, why are you in fair? Are you in fair
I agree with you, Aaron, because... We have seen instances, I've seen many instances in which they shouldn't be in fear and they said they're in fear. That is a narrative they use. But if you're outnumbered and you have a gun, the weapon can be taken
from
you, you could be subdued and something ensued. And then, come on, man, Aaron. I mean, those guys out there in the wilderness, a bunch of people are acting foolishness. I really can't. That's why I didn't join any. They couldn't pay me to do that. Give thanks. Yeah.
Thank you very much. Aaron. Recently, our police force was able to get secure.
No. Let me just finish this out. Because the point that's being made is this. That in the force right now, if officers are assigned a gun, that means that they have two weapons available to them, right?
They have body, their
body and their physical force, and then they have the gun. When does a officer resort to the gun as the primary means of force? Well, when we take a look at the current police force and we have to ask the question, how many of our officers are actually hitting the physical fitness standard for the force? How many officers are regularly retraining? How many officers are taking up and practicing a martial art or a physical type of combat, even if it's Krav Maga or Krav Maga, whatever They practice in Israel, right? In England, where knife crime, where blade crimes are higher than gun crimes, right? Police officers are regularly disarming people with knives without a gun, right? And so why is it that in this place we are having this conversation like this, where you are told that you hate the police if you interrogate this space about the use of lethal force and the rationale for using lethal force, when we have some officers can't climb out the car properly.
It'll be not heavy.
In a high-speed chase, right? Where is the requirement for regular physical training and physical fitness? Don't these officers have to do a test and hit a standard every single year? What are the optics? What are the optics when you talk into young, fit men who could build half a house in a day, and you point a gun at them and tell them don't go anywhere because you know you can't run them, you can't even run them ragged. You can't run them, their spirit down, like how Grammy could run your spirit down talking to your bad. You lose. The point is that, like Mr. Newry said, that the focus should be on training and on the force, as opposed to denigrating people. Yes, the people are lawless, but y'all don't ever talk about the upper class and the rich people that are lawless. You only like to talk about who y'all think are the lower income, the poor ghetto people are lawless, when in fact, there's a bigger problem and crisis going on. The officer's first weapon is his body.
Yes.
His second weapon is his gun.
But we need to lobby for equipment and proper equipment to make sure that our police officers are prepared to do policing. And the theme today is the impact of Bahamian policing and how it impacts society. Because the police are there to serve us. We got to understand what their main objective, to protect us, mm-hmm. to make sure society is safe. And when you find that some police are going toward that, not necessarily doing their job properly, they need to get extra training. Or they need the equipment to police better.
Yeah. Extra training. More training. Physical fitness. See, here's the next thing. This incident we're talking about, these incidents of people ignoring, disregarding, disrespecting the police, it's not taking place in a vacuum, you know. It's taking place in an environment where we stopped talking about the Michael Johnson probe yet? We're still talking about the bank robbery. We're still talking about the individuals from the bank robbery who were identified as being a part of the voice note but are now dead, right? All of these things. We're talking about the U.S. indictment. So when you're talking about citizens not respecting the police, it's not happening in a vacuum. And to what extent are the police responsible for the image that they present to the public, or for what it is the public perceive of them? And just the last thing before you go to the call, you understand that the people are not making these assessments based on what is in the traditional media. It's plenty things talking that don't make it to the media. So when you're going to have a conversation as serious as this one, at least allow someone to open it up, so we could have an authentic conversation. We could identify the nuances and the intersections and make something sensible of it.
Let's go to the caller.
We all support the police, man.
Let's go to the caller. Go ahead, caller. Can you hear us?
Hey. Yeah, morning.
Morning.
Aaron got something against the police. Let me say this.
Where you get that from?
Please stop casting aspersions. Okay, stop that. Don't do that. Because what I will tell you is this. I sat in my house and had to look into the faces of two police officers and came and told me that Patelco determined that the threat was not sufficient to warrant further investigation after being stalked for 3 years. And I still respect the police. And I still, as a citizen, don't wait on the police to do something that I could do. And when I'm on the scene with police, like when the unfortunate day when they had to pull those dead fishermen into Montague Harbor, and I saw that the police did not have the resources to direct the traffic I started directing the traffic until two senior men saw what I was doing and said, man, Green, we got it. We can take it from here. Do not say that. Thank you.
As we help the police to help us, right, the persons in Florida donated some equipment for the Bahamas. My critique of it, because I'm grateful. We got seven cruisers, I think, cars, and one ambulance for the donation. I'm grateful. At this present time, we don't have no fire trucks. And I'm overemphasizing this and exaggerating a bit when I say no fire trucks. But there are several major family islands that do not have access to fire trucks. We're getting into this dry season. It's dry now. We know there'll be some bush fires. Perhaps moving forward, when we solicit, when we ask for donations.
For public safety vehicles?
For public safety vehicles. Perhaps we need to ask for fire trucks.
I mean, right. You send a whole bunch of police to go to this beautiful exchange. We thank our cousins in Miramar for it. But you send police and all they come back is with things for the police. Except fire trucks, fire service is under the police too. Mm. But fire trucks serve the community, you see? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
See, I'm just concerned. I am concerned, and I just want to lobby and remind those in charge that we're watching. And we're watching as we demand of you that when you are soliciting things, think about us. Mm-hmm. Think of what our needs are. So when we receive it, besides being grateful and thankful for getting free things, mm-hmm. we're grateful and thankful for you considering us in your police work.
Absolutely. Here's the next thing. Is there any space? Could somebody maybe text the show? Where in the Ministry of National Security would someone go to get a report on, like, police cars? Like, how many police cars were damaged in the course of a year? How many police cars were repaired? How many police cars were vehicles were scrapped? Right? Can we do that? Like, for instance, I saw images over the weekend of what is purported to be an accident involving a police vehicle. The images contain, one of which was a picture of two police officers, each in their own stretcher, being tended to by EMT. You think we'll ever get, I didn't see anything in today's paper, a report on what transpired? Will we get a report on the status of the car? Since they are cars.
They are cars.
Since we're paying for them, right? And since the people donated them to you to be in service to us, the people, y'all don't feel like you should tell us what happened to them?
Well, the texts are reminding me that the new commissioner of police promised retraining of all officers straight across the board. So I'm not sure when that's going to start. Is this something immediate or something that's a long-term concept? I'm not sure if it's going to be done internally, done by other police officers, or they're going to bring in specialists to say this is the best practices moving forward. Mm-hmm. But there needs to be an improvement in the engagement of the public. The text, a female it seems, that says that police are too quick to put their hand on a gun, which is intimidating when you're supposed to have a conversation. Supposed to be having a conversation, and all of a sudden they come there with the air about them that they prepared to shoot if you don't comply, right? That's problematic. That's problematic when the police are supposed to be your friends. Sometimes you just have a conversation. Let them know what's happening.
It appears as if there's a new protocol, like everybody is your enemy. Mm. Everybody is your enemy until you feel comfortable enough with them that they're not your enemy.
Yeah. So I just wanted to bring that conversation up. I'm going to use my last 8 minutes to talk about the sentencing that we're going to bring about again in the future about this gentleman with his
five-year sentence.
Five-year sentence for the four-year children, right? It's most unfortunate. When you're interrogated, you start questioning whether this plea bargaining thing is working. Mind you, we got a guilty sentence, we got some jail time. But now, at expense of who? Is it at expense of the victims? Or we must be grateful that, hey, at least we didn't have to go through the whole case.
Is it at the expense of the community and the victim primarily and the community? And when we say at the expense of the community, right? How are these how are these sentences impacting the culture? Mm-hmm. How is culture shifting? What does the average person take from this sentence in this situation? And then what does the person who is already minded to commit criminal acts like this, what do they think? Oh, if I get caught, 4 years?
Can there be ever a situation where the prosecutor said, no, we're not plea bargaining at all? This is such a serious, egregious crime that we ain't giving you no time off. You're going for the full 8. The full 20 years.
I'm inclined to take the discretion away from the public prosecutor, right? Take the discretion away. Make it statutory. See, that's why I'm so concerned of not just about the change in the law, but the lack of rationale presented to support the change of the law. Why did you change the law from statutory rape to unlawful sexual intercourse, right? And now we flip it back. There, no plea deal should be statutory for sexual violence.
And particularly against children.
Like, because if there's a sex offender registry, right, any crime that would constitute you or would require you to be registered as a sex offender, no plea deal should be available for that crime.
And again, I ask you, where can you find this sex offender list? Is this something you can find? Like, how do they have a Facebook? Everybody's on Facebook now for people going missing. Is there a list of names, pictures of sexual offenders that I can easily access?
You don't need to invite me to a conversation asking whether the state is complicit in perpetuating rape culture by its lack of attention to its actual policies and legislation and its impact on the community. You don't have to invite me to that conversation. I'll be there.
You'll be there. Hey. But I just concerned. And mind you, I'm all for supporting the Commissioner of the Police. I'm all supporting the Minister of National Security. Mm-hmm. I believe they mean well. I just believe there should be room for critique. There should be room for suggestions on what we want and what we need for the Bahamas. And I'm not necessarily sure if they are accommodating to the critique and the criticism. They're overly defensive because they believe they're the authority and that the customer service in terms of the public is not important. And I want to reiterate that I'll continue to push and say, no, you shouldn't be doing that. I'm the public. There's a certain way you should approach me as a police officer, a person in the service who is there to protect me and to respond to my needs and mm-hmm. my cries, right? And I'm not sure necessarily believe that happens, that a traffic stop, you just can't be shouting and cussing at me. Mm-hmm. As a police officer, be a place where I could complain if you come towards my car for my taillight being out and you tell me about my behind, something right. wrong.
See, I could acknowledge that there's been moments in time where the police saved my life, saved me from myself. Absolutely. But that doesn't mean that I am required to sit small and not critique, right? And offer support to the police through critical interrogation for the purpose of making the force a better force for both the average citizen and the officers who volunteer to serve within it. That's our job as citizens.
Also, before I leave, because we have a couple seconds to go, do you know there are two different Right Honorable titles in the Bahamas? I wasn't sure if you were aware. There's a Right Honorable title that is given by the honor from the Queen or the King, right? Mm-hmm. And recently, there's a new Right Honorable title that came about, the National Honors. It's the second highest, besides National Hero, then the next title is Right Honorable, which we had a number of regular Bahamians who received that. But few people realize or appreciate that there are two different titles. Right Honorable for the Privy Council listing, similar to Right Honorable Perry Christie, Right Honorable Hubert Alexander Ingram. There are two Right Honorables there.
That's why they have the Right Honorable, because of the Privy Council.
Privy Council affiliation.
Right.
And there's also a Right Honorable from being rewarded here, or awarded here, as a local hero, separate and apart from that.
When did that happen? The national.
That's a part of the FNM change of national orders for Most Honorable. They also have a title of Right Honorable also. Example of that person would be the Right Honorable
what the lady who died from the archives?
Gail Saunders.
Gail Saunders. And also the Right Honorable, and I look, I might forget his name, Pastor.
So how did Minnis get most honorable?
He awarded himself it. Bishop Hanchel is also Right Honorable. Mm-hmm. The Right Honorable Bishop Hanchel. And like I said, we need now to be educational exercise that more people are aware of the two different.
And those were honorary status granted by the Bahamian government, right? The
Bahamian government.
And okay, I just want to make that, because we had a conversation about other designations.
Yes. And then we have even an honor system for foreigners. Yeah, Bahamian people honor. Let's go to this caller quickly before we go. Go ahead, caller. Can you hear us? Go ahead, caller.
Hello. Good day, Mr. Nguyen. Good day, Aaron.
Good day. Man, listen, I get tamarind, but if I tell you how much it can cost you right before tamarind season open, if you just wait for tamarind season to open, then we could be good.
My daughter has come and dropped me some lunch and put some sweet tamarind sauce in my hand.
It fresh?
It's fresh,
because that means tamarind on the ground.
Yeah, she get it from the place by which she worked with Blake Wood, called Sandy's Cafe by Dr. Sauce.
Mm-hmm. That means tamarind on the ground. Y'all may not see me for 2 weeks. I got to go pick tamarind.
Okay. And yeah, I tell her, nice. So she you got to go. I said, let me go call Darren and tease and see if she got any tamarind sauce.
But look at you.
She make any tamarind sauce.
You caused me go in my freezer and pull out tamarind and frozen tamarind and make passion fruit tamarind balls.
That's so sweet. I said, it's got to be them tamarind would come from Thailand, because it's very sweet.
But you know what happened, right?
But you can't share them with Nui, because he ain't been behaving for a year old, and you know.
Pray for me.
Don't worry, he can't hear you. What I can say is this, that tamarind seed, somebody planted that tamarind seed in Fox Hill a long time ago. And so now Fox Hill have some of the most beautiful tamarind, because they sweet and they tangy. Like Bahamian woman, they just amazing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah? But anyway.
And keep sure your tamarind sauce, we have Dilly in Fox Hill.
So they could do the right thing.
Yes.
Yes, sir.
We have Dilly and Foxo, just in case you won't come get some. Where are you going?
Mr. Uri,
it's 12 o'clock. Go ahead.
As you close the show, for those who think I don't like the police, let me tell you what I'm saying. What I'm saying is, as opposed to brutalizing young men, they still remember the Adelaide bus, you know, as opposed to just brutalizing young men because you don't know how to interact them and maintain your authority. Right? Why y'all don't go stare dead hard at some of these by them that say openly that they are prepared to engage with minors?
We'll continue to try and work on getting some police officers to come on the show. We wanted them to be off. We wrote in to have the people for you call it when you write the complaint to the police? Complaints crime unit.
Complaints and corruption?
Yes.
Unit, and then it's the complaints... Corruption or Complaints Inspectorate.
Yes, because we did write them to have them come on the show, but there was no response. We wrote them like 3 times. Yeah. Nothing. Got addressing on the wreck.
I called a couple times, road traffic.
They don't want to come on the show.
Yeah.
Yeah. It is what it is. Guardian Radio AM with C.A. Nuri. Thank you very much, Aaron Green. Have a wonderful day.
Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Streaming on guardiantalkradio.com and the Guardian Radio app. Nassau, Bahamas.